comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Come on, man. You know I only surf Transformer sites when there's girls around so they can see how cool I am.
Nerd Radio starts now.
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio. Thanks for downloading the podcast in your podcast feed, which we just updated last week.
Yes.
Our original iTunes podcast feed, because now we're on iTunes twice.
Yes.
So we need to move it from one feed to the other. So if you're an iTunes listener, welcome to the feed. Welcome to the new feed. And if you're somebody who's been using this RSS feed, welcome back.
Yes.
Mr. Al Beck, my yes man.
I think as long as you're hearing this, you're in the right spot.
Exactly.
My yes man. Because there might be someone being like, wait a minute, there's another feed? No, there is. No, there was.
There was, but you weren't getting any new content on that feed. You were just getting the same content twice. Al Beck, my yes man for today, because you yesed me about four or five times.
Did I?
You did.
Yes.
And Jefferson Moore. Welcome, yes. welcome back to the Nerd Radio Studios.
Yes,
friend.
It's good to be here. Yeah.
They're just going to yes for the rest of the show.
Sure.
So, all right, fair enough. big week we had this past weekend, the New York City Comic Con, kind of the last major Comic Con of the year happened, which means that a lot of the companies, whether the comic companies or even television, comic book related stuff, all giving us their final looks at stuff before 2018 is over. Either you guys see anything off the top that you were like, oh crap?
So you're asking me, did I do something responsible, like
did
show prep for Nerd Radio?
Any show prep or research? Did you see
do
anything?
Do you
in
really
want to
rethink what you just asked me, Chuck?
I figured I'd give you the opportunity before I took the wheel.
You know, it's a benefit of a doubt, not a benefit of 700 doubts.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's talk about the New York City Comic Con.
Sure.
Let's talk about something that I'm sure all three of us are pretty much into, and that's the comic book based television shows that we got to see a bunch of. The Boys.
Yeah.
Coming to Amazon Prime. Al and I, both huge fans of the comic book.
Yeah.
A little disappointed that Simon Pegg will not be playing Lee Hughley.
You know what? I knew it wouldn't happen. If it was a movie, they probably would have been able to get him.
Right.
He does not have time to do a series.
A TV
He's
show.
He's got
series.
Too much stuff that's his own thing, too. You know what I mean? A lot of those movies he did, Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, these are all his creations.
Yep.
Not to mention stuff like Star Trek he's involved in that aren't his own thing, but those are movies. You could do it however many weeks and you're done.
Right.
I don't think they would have been able to get him for a series, which is disappointing. But I don't know if Jefferson knew this or not, that they drew the character to look like him specifically.
Yeah. For like 60-something issues.
And he's a big fan, too, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah, he's a big comic book guy.
Every month you pick it up and just read a comic book with Simon Pegg in it.
Yeah, and he was like, I don't know if it was Ennis or was it Derek Roberts? Derek Robertson was the first artist.
Yeah, was the artist.
I don't know if it was one or the other or both of them, but he was on some little show in like Scotland, and they loved this guy. This is before anyone knew who Simon Pegg really was. He was just starting to get known. And so they just really liked this guy. So this character, they decided to draw it to look exactly like Simon Pegg. Simon Pegg knows it. He loves it. He thinks it's great. And I swear if they had done a movie, he probably would have been like, I'm going to make this happen. Yeah, I'll be Wee Huey.
Yeah, for sure. Well, the big star power for the show is they cast Carl Urban as Billy Butcher, which is the main badass of the group.
Did you say Carl Urban?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
And, that is good. Yeah.
There is the if you check out the link that I sent you guys in the stuff, there's an image of the for the show of the group, and it's done right from the very first issue. Like in the first issue, the cover was them all looking down at you like they just beat you up.
Well, here's for Jefferson. That's Wee Huey.
Yeah, that's
it looks exactly like Simon Pegg.
That's Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but they, like I said, they did the image there that's like the first issue.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is freaking fantastic.
They actually used that cover art twice for two separate issues, which is interesting.
And then the big news coming out of New York City Comic Con is we now know what the Seven is supposed to look like in the universe of the Boys. For those who don't know, in the universe of the Boys, the Seven is essentially the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And the Boys are a group run by like a shadowy government thing that keeps the superheroes in line. Because the superheroes are just people with superpowers, and people can be kind of bad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So to keep them from just going full supervillain, there's this group funded by all the different governments in the world that it's like, if a superhero steps out of line considerably, you guys are allowed to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
What I do like about The Boys is that you really think about it, that's probably the more realistic scenario. Like, they would maybe, you know, for the sake of the front page, kind of behave themselves when people are looking, but really right. probably terrible people.
And behind closed doors.
Yeah.
It's kind of, sense, yeah.
It kind of explores the whole idea of absolute power corrupting absolutely.
Yeah.
And the writer, Garth Ennis, who's also the writer for Preacher,
yep.
Hates superhero comics with a passion. He grew up on like war comics and yeah. stuff like that. So he's always hated superheroes. The closest he really gets is, so he'll do The Punisher.
Yeah.
He did a, you know, Nick Fury.
He did a really good issue of the Hitman series that yeah. he's doing for DC, where sure. Superman, it was a one-issue story, and Tommy Monaghan was yeah. the name of the guy that was Hitman. He was a hitman of supervillains or super, yeah. you know, superheroes. Like, you know, if the Joker drops an anvil on your grandma, then you can hire him to kill the Joker, kind of thing, is the premise of the
Jeez.
But Tommy is sitting on the roof of a building, and Superman, he just looks over, and Superman's sitting there, and he's like, Well, hi there, Superman. And apparently Superman has had a really bad day and he just needed a minute because he tried to save a space shuttle and it burned up in atmosphere while he was holding it. And he looked into the eyes of an astronaut through the window that had the realization that Superman is not going to save me. And Superman is having to deal with this. And Tommy kind of talks him through the fact like, dude, even though you're Superman, you can't save everybody. It's mm-hmm. okay, dude. And it's this really heartfelt, cool moment that you wouldn't expect from Garth Ennis, a guy who's
yeah.
taken in the same book to making the Green Lantern look like an absolute fool, has made fun of Wonder Woman, yeah. Catwoman, you know, a Batman. But he talks Superman kind of down from the ledge a little bit. And Superman's like, thanks a lot, Tommy. And he flies off. And then Tommy's like, whew, that was close. And he pulls a sniper rifle out from behind this ledge thing and shoots a guy. Like, he was up there to do a job the whole
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
But The Boys is coming to Amazon Prime in early 2019.
Very nice. And, I'm looking forward to that
that's
one.
That's pretty quick, honestly.
It is. Well, they've been working on it.
Yeah, we've been hearing about this for a little while. Chuck and I, you were a fan of the comic, right? Were you, Chuck?
Oh, absolutely.
I loved The Boys. So when yeah. when I first heard rumblings of it, I got really excited. So,
right on.
Yeah.
Speaking of shows that are coming to Amazon Prime, you got two reasons in 2019 to think about at least finding somebody with an Amazon Prime account so you can watch some TV shows. Good Omens was originally a book, an actual book, not a mm-hmm. comic book, written by
an actual book. I don't have any of those here.
No. Neil Gaiman.
We don't read.
No, I need pictures.
Neil Gaiman, who we know from, he's written a couple of Doctor Who episodes. He wrote mm-hmm. the Sandman yeah. comics and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Fantastic writer. Also with Terry Pratchett, which I believe is connected to Monty Python. I don't know. I probably
he's also another terrific writer who writes a lot of books.
Yes, actual books.
Real
they're doing a 6-issue miniseries.
Hey, you know what? We're lucky I got off of pop-ups, okay? So let's just drop it with the fair. Actual books thing, all right?
They don't have enough pictures!
Yeah.
Can I get to the news?
No, go for it, man.
All right, thanks. They're doing a 6-issue miniseries, or a 6...
trying to run a show over here,
6-episode miniseries, and it's based around a angel and a demon that have existed on Earth for years, finding out that the end times are upon them, and they don't want it to happen, so they're going to try and stop it.
Mm.
I can't remember. The angel is played by Michael Sheen. The demon is played by David Tennant.
Really?
Huh.
Yes. The teaser is amazing because it's set to Queen's "You're My Best Friend."
Uh-huh.
So there, it's very funny. It's gonna be very charming as Neil Gaiman stuff typically is. And that's so definitely another thing. Like I said, in 2019, looks forward
really
to.
Interesting. Yeah.
Al, are you still on board with Gotham?
Yeah.
Have you been watching Gotham? Okay, so maybe you can clear this up for me. They had like a teaser at New York City Comic Con for the final season of Gotham. And it looks like they're doing No Man's Land, where like just it's a post-apocalyptic craziness takes place. Because and in the teaser, they showed a whole bunch of scenes that I was led to believe happened in previous seasons. Like, for instance, Jerome, the character mm-hmm. that was kind of the Joker.
Yeah.
He died, but then he had a twin brother.
Yes.
That he sent something in the mail to that turned his skin white and made him crazy too?
Yeah.
That was in a previous season?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the most recent season, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Mr. Freeze has been in the show?
Yes.
I knew they'd done Poison Ivy because I'd seen that. There was somebody else in there that I was like, oh my God.
They had to give her a crazy aging thing.
Right.
Oh, they started off, she was the same age as Catwoman, who was like 12 at the beginning of the show.
Right.
Although I think they're 18 now, maybe 19, something like that, her and the Bruce Wayne guy. But anyway... And then they had to like, then they wanted to like sexualize the character, I think.
Right.
But they're like, she's 14.
She's a little too young.
So let's
for that.
Dump her in some sort of toxic sewage and then she'll magically be 26.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I saw a bunch of stuff in there that made me go, man, I should watch Gotham again. Yeah. There's all this crazy stuff happened when
it's
I stopped watching
science.
The show. But then I remembered that like in the 2 minutes of crazy stuff they showed me, like that happened over 3 or 4 seasons. Mm. I don't know that I want to watch 3 or 4 seasons of a show for like 30 seconds of like, oh my God, it's that guy.
All of the Jerome stuff is worth watching.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's we were terrific. Just talking about, you know, different Jokers. That guy's so good.
Yeah.
That guy is so good.
Yeah. He has done a fantastic job. But yeah, so Gotham looks like leading into its last season, they're going to do kind of a, like an apocalypse on Gotham kind of thing. Oh, that was the other thing I saw. The guy that plays the police captain that was in the Shield, he was the Thing in the Fantastic Four.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He ended up being a villain.
Michael Chiklis.
Yeah,
something like that.
Michael Chiklis. He ended up being a villain.
Yeah.
In the previous season, do you remember what his villain name was?
Oh God, he was the.
Because somebody I'd seen
what
him.
The hell
in the,
they call it? He's guilty.
I saw him in the trailer wearing some kind of costume, and I'm like. They turned him into a villain. Well, who did they turn him into? And then somebody online had said there was a Batman villain that was in like one issue in the 90s called Bad Cop. Just Bad Cop. And they're like, I think he was Bad Cop. I'm like, wait a second.
I can't remember what they called him in the show. You're asking me to draw my memory. I'm lucky I remembered his name.
All right. Well, that's fair.
I do remember the Joker's or Jerome's.
Jerome's? Is his microphone even working now?
No, his mic died.
It doesn't sound like it's working at all.
You're going to have to use Al's mic because now it's just fuzz.
Oh, so the Joker was played by Cameron Monaghan, who's also in Shameless.
Yeah.
Who also plays a really good character in that one. He's just a terrific actor, just in general, you know?
Yeah.
And,
well, he did a fantastic, you know, at a time, like you said before, Al, we talked a couple of weeks ago about, like, who's your favorite Joker or how many people have played the character and stuff like that. At a time where you now have to live up to the Heath Ledger Joker, you know, he did a great version of the Joker without having to, you know, mimic somebody else's version of the Joker.
He had the laugh down, which was, I think, probably one of the biggest parts about playing the Joker.
That's
the
first thing you need if you're gonna be the Joker.
Yeah, the laugh is key, certainly. But yeah, I don't know what it is, man. Like, I don't know how you capture the Joker magic because, like, we were talking, maybe it was last week we were discussing this, that they keep failing. But they've got three really good Jokers. I mean, you could count even Mark Hamill, even though it's just voice work.
Oh, absolutely.
This is a fantastic Joker.
Absolutely.
We've had more good Jokers, now that I think about it, than bad Jokers. I just haven't been crazy about, you know, Jared Leto I wasn't crazy about.
Well,
but, you know.
It's funny that you bring up Jared Leto. We just found out yesterday. This is after New York City Comic Con. Apparently, James Gunn is in talks to do the next Suicide Squad movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jumping over the fence. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see a guy going from doing Marvel movies to DC movies. Obviously, he was let go from doing Guardians. That was a whole thing we talked about a couple of months ago. But you know, also I remember when Suicide Squad came out, watching it and being like, oh, so they tried to, you know, do their own version of Guardians.
Right. So yeah, maybe we'll actually get a good Suicide Squad now.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Guardians, obviously, the humor and stuff was a lot of the appeal of that movie, and maybe he'll bring that to Suicide Squad and maybe turn some of the DC stuff around a little bit.
Yeah, they
because they've
show,
tried to go humor and it hasn't really worked for DC. They just can't seem to get it right.
Right. They did show the an extended Aquaman trailer at the New York City Comic Con. Looks very exciting. At the end of it, he's wearing the orange shirt and the green pants. He looks like comic book Aquaman, which is cool. But the stuff they showed at the New York City Comic Con looks like there's going to be a lot of humor in the movie, which is great.
I do kind of like when they when you've got like that cheesy comic book outfit and they kind of make a joke about it, you know, sort of like X-Men. It was like, what would you prefer, yellow spandex or whatever?
Right.
Or in Luke Cage when he ends up wearing the Luke Cage outfit and sees his reflection, you look like a damn fool.
Yeah, I think each of them does that. In Jessica Jones, they had one like that. And Daredevil, I think, actually winds up with his same outfit. So.
Yeah, I noticed in the trailer for season 3, like, they just show him in the black outfit again.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Well, I don't know if we're jumping ahead in the
not
list, but freaking we get a trailer from that, and it's...
And it's next week.
It's Bullseye, isn't it?
Yeah, Bullseye's going to be it. He showed up
Which
at
is
the...
honestly one of his biggest foils, and Fisk is in it too. So
yeah, the return of Wilson Fisk is
that too.
Oh yeah,
as always.
I think I think we talked about it either last week or the week before, and I was like, I'll jump ahead. Like, I'm in the middle of the first season of Iron Fist. I still get a couple other Netflix shows, but I'll jump ahead to watch Daredevil. That's the show in my mind. Al doesn't care. Al gave up.
Really, I don't anymore. It's just too much. I just got to stop care. That's how. That's what it takes. Is I literally have to just give up. Surrender.
In my opinion, Daredevil's the one, though.
Well, here's a show
I'll always be able to.
Here's a show I know you haven't given up on. Star Trek Discovery season 2, January.
Yes.
And apparently, we found out at New York City Comic Con we're gonna see Spock this season.
Yes.
So that's interesting.
Well, yeah, which is not a surprise. I mean, you find out that Michael Burnham, the main character of the series, was actually raised by Sarek. So
sure.
She's not related to Spock, but she's sort of like
a stepsister
to Spock.
Right.
In a manner of speaking.
So that'll be, considering we've seen two different Spocks now, this will be our third Spock.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, much like the Joker.
I will be honest.
What does this actor bring to the character?
Yes, as much as I do enjoy, and I think Zachary Quinto is a great Spock.
Loved him. Yeah. Loved him.
Carl Urban was a great Bones.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But everyone else has a little bit of, like, even Simon Pegg, who I'm a big fan of, did a great Scotty, but at the same time, that character was a little, not quite what I want in Scotty, which I don't necessarily need the, you know.
Right.
He played Simon Pegg as Scotty rather than your Scotty as Scotty, you know.
Right. Yeah, it definitely felt like it was Simon Pegg in the role of Scotty.
Jefferson, you just stay over there. I'm going to keep this microphone. How dare you challenge me?
Hey, I want to say something. Hey, what do I do?
How about you get a friggin' microphone then, guy?
I'm talking right in front of my microphone, man.
Jefferson, you come over here. You can borrow mine. Okay. Over here. Here's another chair.
All right.
Yeah, Chuck's actually nice. All right.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Don't take it for granted.
Oh, there's so much
armrest.
Elbow room over here now.
No, there's no. Do you want to switch chairs? Do you need an armrest?
I can live without it.
Mm.
All right, fair enough.
I'm really more so looking forward to the Picard series.
Yeah.
More than anything else, aside from just loving Next Generation as my favorite series of Star Trek, more than loving Patrick Stewart in that role and that character, it would be nice to see Star Trek move forward in time for the first time since Voyager.
that's true. Really
think about it. Now, like, Next Gen, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager all take place around the same time. They're all kind of, you know, it's all events simultaneously.
Sure.
The technology looks the same. The uniforms look very similar. But ever since after Voyager wrapped up, we went into Enterprise, which was a prequel. And then you get the reboot movies. So that's, you know, not a prequel, but it's a reboot. And then you get Discovery, which is... happens between Enterprise and the original series.
Right.
Can we move forward? Like in Discovery, I was just talking to my brother about this weekend. Like in Discovery, you've got the spore drive where you can just jump from spot to spot. And it's such cool technology and it's great for Star Trek. But it was in the past and we've never heard of it again.
Right. So something must have happened between Discovery and the rest of the series.
And it's
that
Star
makes the
Trek
spore drive
and they'll be
not
able,
worth using.
Right. And they'll be able to, it might be too dangerous and they'll be able to explain it away. But it's like, really? Like, this technology is so cool and we can never use it again.
Maybe you've just figured out how they end the show.
Oh, damn.
The spore drive's giving them all cancer or something, and that's why they could never use it ever again.
Well, I really hope not. That'd be like a
really, that would be bummer. Really sad.
That'd be a bummer.
Yeah. But,
get in here, Jefferson. I can barely hear you.
Way to bring it down, man.
But I don't know. I really want to see Star Trek move forward. And it doesn't all have to be around the stuff that we already know. Same thing with the Star Wars universe. We don't have to necessarily...
Oh, yeah.
You know, hey, I guess we'll talk about...
That's the fun thing about like science fiction. A lot of science fiction is whether it's television or movies or something like that, is that you can very easily, especially with Star Trek, like there's a bunch of ships out there with captains and crew and everything like that. You can just give us another ship. Look at what's the show on Fox that the Family Guy guys?
Oh, Orville.
Yeah, Orville is essentially Star Trek with a different ship.
Yes.
Different
and
characters.
It's a good sci-fi show. I thought it was, I honestly was skeptical about it, but it turns out that it's actually a really good sci-fi show. I like it.
Right. Actually, while we're on the subject of Star Trek, kind of sidebarring, because we were talking about Zachary Quinto, you'll be into this, Jefferson. I finally saw the second season of American Horror Story all the way through.
Oh,
Asylum.
Yeah.
God damn, is that the best season of American Horror Story
right?
ever?
Like, I started, so many people say one, but I
started
know.
With Coven, Which the witches just showed up in the new season of American Story. I'd forgotten they were just essentially spooky X-Men.
Yeah.
But I'm a little sad that Zachary Quinto got too big for American Horror Story after season two. Or maybe he was in season three. I don't remember. But like, he's such a great character in season two. He was real good in season one. And then, you know, he got that Star Trek money.
Yeah, that Star Trek money. It's hard to look back after that. Yeah.
After Star Trek money. All right, well, we're going to look for our Star Trek money, and we'll be back with a little bit of Nerd Radio.
Here?
Take a little bit of a break here. Take a drink, and we're coming right back.
Here, check under that chair over there. I think I saw something.
Ah, found it!
Yes!
Star Trek money.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Dirk motherfucking Manning, and you were listening to Nerd Talk on Nerd Radio.
You're so close.
Damn it. See, I'm beating myself up on Nerd Radio, not Nerd Talk.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio on the podcast page, on your RSS feed, on the iTunes, and of course on social media, Nerd Radio 101, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My name is Chuck Bean. I'm joined, as always, by Al Beck.
Mm-hmm.
And say hi to the people, Jefferson.
What's up, guys?
This week...
make the lean in.
Yeah. We're down a mic, so me and Jefferson are sharing a mic. So if he sounds a little bit quiet, it's because he doesn't want to get too close to me. I don't know why.
It's because you stink.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. I showered this morning before I even came to the studio.
You can't tell.
And I was nice enough to share my microphone with him, and this is what I get.
It's more of a thing, like a proximity thing. Yeah. I mean, to whoever's nearest to me. So normally that's Al, but now it's you. I was going to say,
you behave yourself over there, Jefferson, or you'll be back sharing a mic with me.
I get it.
It does sound worse.
All right. Well,
it does sound worse.
This week we're talking about the New York City Comic Con. We were talking about all the TV shows and the movies that they showed us. Let's not forget, it's a Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
We got a little bit of comic book news out of there. Brian Michael Bendis' next book for DC is going to be Young Justice. A return to a fan favorite cartoon show mm-hmm. They're doing that's kind of like the Teen Titans, kind of a younger version of the Justice League with a whole bunch of characters. And if he proved anything with the Spider-Man book that he was doing and the Miles Morales stuff, it's that, you know, he can write kids pretty fun.
Yeah.
So that'll be kind of cool to see. Conan the Barbarian moving from longtime publisher Dark Horse back to Marvel. Are you a Conan fan at all, Al?
I never really watched or read Conan. I've never really seen the movies even. It's not been a part of my life. But it's funny that you mentioned Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah.
Just over the weekend, I was out visiting my brother.
Yeah, you're out in like Vegas.
Yeah,
stuff.
He lives in Las Vegas. So I'm out there visiting him. And I put something out. He went to go take care of his daughter. You know, I got a little niece that lives out there and told me to put whatever on. I put on... Seinfeld's on. Click. And I end up passing out on the couch.
Sure.
And I wake up.
I do that all the time. I watch Seinfeld as well.
Yeah. Good. Good. Glad you will enjoy Seinfeld. But I fell asleep on the couch while Seinfeld was on. And when I wake up, something else is, you know, on. The show ended. And so I asked my brother, what are you watching? He's what you were watching. I thought you wanted to watch this. It's Conan.
Conan the Barbarian?
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
And, well, here's the funny thing was he was perplexed because it was clearly the newer version with Jason Momoa.
Oh!
But
gosh.
They had switched up the description. So if you hit info on the button, it said 1980 whatever and Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's just sitting there like, I've been watching this movie for like 30 minutes. This is like... The least I've ever seen Arnold Schwarzenegger in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. And he could not believe that, like, he's like, they really remastered the hell out of this 1980s movie. No, that's Aquaman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. It's a really good story.
Yeah.
It is weird when you fall asleep with the TV on, like to one thing, and then you there's that moment of like, what the hell is going on when you wake up because you hear the sound and you're like, and then you look at the TV. Like sometimes it only lasts a couple of seconds, but sometimes it can last a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You're like, what is on right now?
Well, I felt bad for him because he came back and I in my days of napping on the couch, I did hear the hockey game for a little bit. But for the most part, he left it on because he thought I was watching it.
Right.
And he's just sitting there contemplating, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger not being in a stupid movie.
In an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
But it was funny that we hit info, and sure enough, it had all the description, the year, the cast of the old one. I'm like, and I was like, and furthermore, where the hell is James Earl Jones?
Yeah, exactly. But the last bit of news I wanted to share with you from New York City Comic Con is that they're doing a weekly sequel to the Avengers Weekly that happened earlier this year called No Surrender.
Okay.
It's going to be called No Way Home. And the main bit of news about that is that Rocket Raccoon is joining the Avengers.
Oh, man, that's not going to end well.
That has not happened out of all the people who have been in the Avengers. Fascinating.
I mean, to be fair, even Deadpool worked his way into the Avengers for a little bit.
He has.
And the X-Men.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So it'll be fun to see Rocket. We've seen Rocket interact with Tony Stark in Bendis' run on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Which was super fun because he was, you know, Tony would be just fascinated by the technology they had on the ship. And Rocket would be like, that's like a baby's toy. And then Tony would think he did something really cool with the Iron Man armor. He'd be like, oh, yeah, I did something like that with this gun over here like years ago. That's nothing.
And he's a raccoon, so.
Right. Unless you ask Thor, then he's a rabbit.
Yes.
Oh, shoot. I totally forgot. I apologize.
A little bit of a sad note. We found out over the weekend, Herschel from The Walking Dead, the actor, passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems a little weird to talk about considering he was on a show called The Walking Dead.
Sure.
But, you know, our condolences to the family and friends of Herschel. A couple of weeks ago, too, Carlos Esquera passed away, and I neglected to mention it. He's one of the guys, he worked primarily on Judge Dredd, but has done quite a few books with Garth Ennis. So being that, you know, we're both big Garth Ennis fans, whether you know it or not, you've read, the original Saint of Killers miniseries. In Preacher.
Oh, yes.
Stephen Pugh, and then Carlos Esquera did that, and he worked on a couple of the one-shots for Preacher. So both of those guys, like I said, family and friends, our hearts and thoughts, I guess, go out to them.
Sure.
For sure. It's always, death's a part of life, but it always comes too soon.
That's always a weird thing to try and talk about on the show.
It is, yeah, because we always try and keep things kind of...
And it's nerd radio, so, funny. I mean, we already live in fantasy land.
Right.
With our comic books and video games and such. But then, you know, we try to make it entertaining as well. But we also want to give these guys their due.
Absolutely.
And, you know.
You know, they've given us thanks
for the work because
given us years of their lives to entertain us.
Yeah, and that's you know, what gives us that fantasy that we live in, you know.
Exactly.
And the failure to confront reality. That's what this show's all about.
I know I just talked a whole bunch about New York City Comic Con. The thing that I'm super pumped about.
Did you? I wasn't listening.
When this happens? Yeah, I'm used to that.
No. Not a fan of the show. Anyway, continue.
The thing I always get pumped about is my Transformers. Because at New York City Comic Con and then at San Diego.
Oh, Transformers. Okay.
Yeah, now you can tune out for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Jefferson's yawning. You really picked the wrong side of the room today, pal.
All right, well, then I'm going to invite you guys at home to hit us up on our social media if you want to talk about Transformers, because I'm super pumped.
No, go ahead.
They showed us a whole bunch of action figures for the Decepticons. They're remaking Shockwave, the big purple guy that turned into a space gun. They're remaking a Megatron. They're making another Soundwave, and he has cassettes.
Like how quickly you're trying to get through this.
Wait, he has cassettes? That just sounds interesting. How does that work?
Well, the original Soundwave was a cassette player. So really? his little tiny dudes like Ravage and Buzzsaw and stuff were cassettes that would come out of his chest and turn into little dudes. Well, they're going back to that, and he's going to, like, he doesn't quite turn into a cassette player, but they did make the little guys, and they turn into little cassettes that go in his chest.
At least make him into, like, a Walkman. I mean, I don't even know what a cassette is anymore.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Or a CD player, you know? You think they could
It'd
do that?
Hard.
An iPod with digital things coming out
of
them?
It's significantly harder to make a CD that transforms into something.
You saw
the first movie.
That is true.
Speaking of movies, they did release the trailer for the Bumblebee movie a couple of weeks ago.
Hmm.
And I realized that is the most abusive relationship I'm in, is the Transformers movies. Because every time I'm
and
like...
Now you know what it's like to be a fan of the Detroit Lions.
This is going
to
be... Yeah, it's exactly like that.
Oh,
I'm like...
Damn.
I'm not gonna get into this again. And then the Bumblebee movie trailer comes out, and they show that there's scenes from Cybertron where, like, Optimus looks like cartoon Optimus, and Soundwave has a cassette kind of thing and whatnot. I'm like, damn it, I gotta go see this movie now. This looks good, and it's not gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, you go ahead. You let us know.
I'm gonna be disappointed.
I know you will.
Yeah, maybe I'll double feature that with the Venom movie, which apparently people loved over the weekend.
I've been hearing some good things
the
about
critics
it.
Critics hated it. Like if you look at Rotten
Critics,
if you look in Rotten Tomatoes, the critics are like 30%, but the fans are at like 80.
Yeah.
So I think the best thing I'd read when we talked about it last week was that it's kind of unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
That they like they're trying to do a serious movie, but parts of it just come off as funny, even though they weren't trying to make it funny. I don't know. I guess I'm going to have
to. I need to get to it. I still haven't even seen Ant-Man and the Wasp.
You're going to have such a good time.
Behind on everything, and it doesn't even bother me. It used to bother me.
Right.
It used to get down on me a little bit.
I think that just came out on digital, if not on Blu-ray.
Probably.
You got to get it. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Absolutely good time. There was something else that I wanted to mention in the movie theater. Oh, you know what? Doctor Who came back this weekend. And I watched the first half of it because it's like an hour and 45 minutes for the first episode.
I saw that. I got to either purchase the season on iTunes or pull up the BBC app because
it definitely feels a lot like every time they regenerate the Doctor. Like you don't really get a feel for who the Doctor is in that first episode.
Well, yeah.
That's true.
It usually isn't until an episode or two later. Or if you're, what was it, Peter Capaldi's Doctor, a season and a half later when you feel like you know who this guy is.
Well, even David Tennant didn't really settle into who his doctor was right away. I mean, he kills a guy in one of his first episode.
He does, but I felt by like the end of the third episode, I was like, okay, I know who the doctor is.
That's kind of how I felt too.
Right. Yeah. Sure. But so far, I like what I see. Looks cool.
That's cool. I am excited to check it out. That's actually on the real list of things to get to.
All right. Well, I want to give a little plug before we wrap up Nerd Radio here of something to check out. This weekend, returning to Dearborn, the American National Museum, the Arab American National Museum in Dearborn, October the 13th is Comic Con. It's a Comic Con that is centered around female creators.
Oh, cool.
In the industry. So they've got a couple of guests there. I've been there the last couple of years. It's always a good time. It's a one-day show. It's a smaller show, but it's neat. It's neat to see all the different. It's like a big artist alley with a couple of guests in it. And it's neat to see all the creators that are going to be out there. Like I said, it's happening. You can go to Comic Con with a Q, ComiQUECon, con.org to pick up your tickets or to check out more about it. And it's going to be a fun time. And we are weeks away from the big anime convention here, YumaCon. So I'm looking forward to that myself as well.
Very cool.
All right. That's going to do it, I think, for this week's Nerd Radio. I thank you guys for sticking with me as I gun through all the news from New York City Comic-Con. And I think you guys...
Are you talking to the listeners or me and Jefferson?
No, both of you. I was looking you dead in the eyes when I said it.
Well, hey, I don't know, but I just want to make sure because I feel like we deserve a pat on the back.
You do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Now Jefferson is the yes man.
Yes. Yeah. And yes.
All right.
I think that's the end, yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Nerd Radio.
He's like a person and a horse.
That's right. It's Nerd Radio on your podcast feed and on your social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Nerd Radio 101. Jefferson Moore, how the heck are you?
I'm doing really good.
My name is Chuck B, and I'm joined, as always, by Jefferson Moore. Al had to step out. He's having some car troubles this week, so I think he's on the way to the mechanic to find out what's going on with that. But you were telling me as we were wrapping up the show this week that you... Your D&D campaign is kind of fizzled.
Okay, I wouldn't say fizzled. We run ourselves into a corner.
All right, we'll catch up the listeners for those that haven't, that are unaware of what was going on with your D&D campaign in the first place.
Yeah, sure. So basically, there's a huge goblin occupation in one continent of the world, and they recently... broke into a key point, and now they're flooding in through the rest of the continent. But the players were stuck in this overpopulated goblin area, and they were trying to get out of that, and they finally got a boat, and were getting away from it. And last session...
So instead of figuring out a way to stop the goblins from flooding into the continent, they left.
That's what they did, yeah.
Is that what pretty much all the NPCs and the everybody else is just like, what, just cutting ties and leaving? Or were they supposed to help them and went, nope, it's too much?
Well, I mean, to be fair, they are six level five players against a literal army of hobgoblins. There's not too much they can do.
Sure.
So they're just trying to regroup back in the human portion and try to come up with a plan to resist the occupation and all that stuff.
Okay, so you put them on a boat. Where are they going on the boat?
They're trying to just go across this bay to a human-occupied city where they can sort of formulate a plan and build up resistances and things like that.
Are goblins good at boats?
Hobgoblins are.
Hobgoblins are good at sailing.
And basically, if they aren't good at it, they will enslave someone who is. They'll get good boats no matter what.
Yeah.
And then they'll have slaves, you know. Because hobgoblins are really good.
Hobgoblins are jerks.
Oh, yeah, they're horrible. They're horrible goblinoids, you know? But anyway, so they're on a boat, and they run into a Luska first.
What is a Luska?
It is a shark head with an octopus in the back, and it's gigantic. It's terrifying.
Oh, my goodness.
I had a lot of fun making that one, and
That does sound awful.
We basically we kind of cheated a little bit, and we just made a giant shark and added a bunch of tentacles.
It's always funny to me when I did play D&D, because like eventually you're going to be on a boat for something like that.
Yeah.
Like having to fight creatures in the water as a like a magic user or a barbarian or something.
Yeah.
Like, trying to say, it doesn't sound like a good time. It doesn't sound like it makes a lot of sense. Like the creature in the water lives in the water in the first place, so their whole thing is to knock you into the water because then you're easy prey.
Yeah.
And you're trying to stay on this boat that's moving around and swing a sword because you're not going to swing a sword underwater.
In the water, nope, don't happen.
You know, a thief is that you're only going to make so much stabs.
Yeah.
If they get you in the water.
So that's kind of the thing. We were kind of doing like this three strike thing. Like, okay, it's still early on in the campaign. If someone dies, then we'll probably try to fudge the dice and make them live.
Okay.
That's over now. The gloves are off and everything.
Did they lose anybody?
They did not yet. Ooh. But that, like I said, the last strike, there was a Gertie, the rogue that's not
the worst rogue ever.
Yes. He was like, I'm going to kind of snipe him from the side of the boat. I'm like, the side of the boat? It's like, the side of the boat. All right, well, shark head's coming out at you.
Ah.
And like, I rolled and I'm like, yep, you are grappled. Let's see you try to get out of that with
that escape
DC.
I feel like if shark head bit you, it's instant death.
Probably, but... Yeah, no, and he failed a grapple, and I'm like, so his teeth graze you.
I'm just picturing this thing because its back half is an octopus. It, like, grabbing you in a tentacle and then, like, moving you to the face. So
yeah,
it can bite you.
Exactly like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, very spooky. They actually had the barbarian grabbed by two tentacles at the same time, getting pulled off the boat, and the shark head almost got her, but she actually did make her escape. And
nice.
Which is cool because I like that character one of the best, and we have like a really big plan for her too.
So okay, cool.
That's good. But anyway, so they go on down this, there's a big whirlpool right after that, and they kind of get sucked down into the bottom of it where there is a underwater lab, essentially.
I would hope so, because otherwise that's a real mean way to just kill everybody.
Yeah. Just like, oh, everyone dies. Yeah.
Yep.
Which is just bad writing, you know?
Y'all drowned at the end.
Yeah, but anyway, It's actually in our universe, which I mean that I hope that none of the players are going to be listening right now. But so dwarves.
Well, I hope all of your players are listening to us. We can use every podcast
listener
we can get.
But the dwarves are a ancient race, and back in the past they had highly advanced use of like technology and magic. Like they made a bunch of constructs, like kind of golems, but like uber golems that are huge and terrifying.
Oh, so like robots, like
giant, yeah, essentially, yeah,
like giant robots. They can move around.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, did you make D&D Pacific Rim?
I may have, yeah. But it was pretty cool. But anyway, but something happened in the past, and dwarves' memories as a whole were kind of brought back to slate number one. So they don't have access to any of that technology anymore.
Okay.
But they ran into a laboratory made by these ancient dwarves. And kind of the cool thing with that is we designed a skeleton mage, and we skinned them as dwarves.
A skeleton mage? Cage?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this a player character?
No, no.
Okay.
No, not at all. But they came across this laboratory, and guess what? The inhabitants are still there.
Okay.
Because whatever happened to this lab...
They're still there, but they don't, like, they don't have the memories on how to use the technology
of all the cool kind of robots. The skeletons are simultaneously living in the current time and, like, in the past. So they aren't aware that their bodies have decayed to the point of a skeleton.
Oh.
So I just thought that was a really cool concept.
Not a lot of mirrors down there.
No, not really, no. And, like, I gave them a bunch of spells like Blur, so they're, like, constantly switching between different time periods.
Okay.
Haste, slow, a bunch of time, different
manipulative stuff. Well, I feel like if the players could figure out how to use these giant robots, they could just go back and smash all the goblins.
Most of them are deactivated. But although we do have a player character that is actually playing as one of these hyper-intelligent constructs, which is really interesting. He's kind of playing as a robot, like he does the robot voice. He does it way better,
though. He's a magic robot?
Yep, pretty much, which is pretty cool. But basically, they're at the bottom of a whirlpool, and they have no way to get out. So we're like, how do we get out of this? And honestly, we've been racking our brains for a week.
Did the dwarves ever leave there?
No.
They live there?
We're not telling them how they did. But teleportation is declared to be a thing in this laboratory.
Okay.
And, like, not really anywhere else. So we're probably just going to wind up taking the easy route out. And one of the ancient dwarves is going to, like, tap his staff on the ground and teleport everyone out of it. And
where are you going to teleport them to?
We're thinking, like, a dwarven mine off in the mainland. And they're actually just
going to... So it's not going to be as simple as, like, we're just going to teleport you to where you were supposed to be going because the DM effed up and can't figure out how to get you out of here.
Yeah, no, we're just...
And back on track.
We're going to say you guys are slightly off track, but you guys can figure out where you are.
If I was one of your players, I would be super disappointed that we don't get to, like, pilot one of these giant robots.
Yeah. Well, maybe at some point.
I'd be like, come on.
Come on, they're level 5. Piloting giant robots is going to be more of a, level 15, 20 endeavor, you know?
Did you watch Evangelion? Neon Genesis Evangelion?
A little bit, yeah.
Shinji was definitely less than level 5.
Okay, that's true.
Piloting Evangelion. Come on, man. Come on.
I don't know.
What's the new Evangelion? I forgot because I watched a couple episodes of it on Crunchyroll.
I couldn't tell you.
Darling in the Franxx. That's what it's called.
Hmm.
But it's essentially like new Evangelion.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Definitely check it out. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, but that's an example of writer's block into the D&D world. But we should be able to get things back on track after this little devolvation.
So ultimately, your plot line here for these guys is for them to get to this other continent.
Mm-hmm.
Formulate a plan to go back to the first continent and run all the goblins out.
Mostly just stop the goblins from gaining more territory, because at this point, the other continent where the goblins already are is kind of just effed anyway. So, it's...
Like, did you have this plan the whole time going forward, or you just let things happen and then just, you know, just roll with the punches?
It's an interesting mix of both, I would say. Like, we have things that we want to have happen, like a couple of encounters that were like, wow, this is a really cool idea, and it kind of furthers like this plot line and over here. But honestly, with players the way they are, it kind of doesn't behoove you to come up with like one rigid plot line, because
you kind of have to keep, you know, smacking them on the nose with a newspaper to get them back in line
exactly
to where
yeah.
you want them to go.
So it's basically just,
you gotta herd them like sheep.
Exactly, yeah. So we're gonna be like, okay, here's 5 plot hooks. What are you gonna do? Okay, and this plot hook was gonna be over here, but instead we're gonna put it to this other one that you did choose, so that we can still progress the story and everything.
Right.
Because, I mean, you can't think about writing a campaign like a normal story.
So at what point did you realize you were stuck?
When we could not figure out how to get out all the players alive. Because we were thinking like, okay, so the water level is going to rise, but then we have a dwarf in full heavy armor that is going to drown.
Right.
And that doesn't seem fair too much to throw them at that before they get like water breathing or anything.
Sure.
But
they're in an ancient workshop of dwarves that had great technology. Like, there couldn't just be water breathing helmets.
You know what? That would be an idea.
There couldn't have been like a dwarven submarine perhaps.
Okay, well, maybe we should have came to you for that.
I guess so.
Those sound like pretty decent ideas, honestly. Shoot. Yeah. All right.
But she went with teleportation.
We went with teleportation.
Yeah, well, how long were you stuck?
Weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you just couldn't play anymore because you couldn't figure out how to go from point A to point B?
Well, we do sessions biweekly. So we're just like, okay, what are we going to do to get them out of the situation? We're like, we could do this. We could do that. We're like, no, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. So, yeah, no.
Like, did you have to forego at least one session because you're like, I don't know what to do?
No, we haven't skipped any sessions.
But you had, you've had literally, the 2 weeks in between going, I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know what's happening, man.
Yeah.
But you've already teleported them out, I'm taking it?
We've teleported them out, and honestly, it should be easy enough to do a couple of subterranean adventures before they get back up in there, and then it's back to the regularly scheduled programming and all
that.
See,
you got to come to me with this stuff, man.
I know where to go now.
I'm the ideas man.
That's right. Okay. I will let him know that Chuck is to the rescue.
Yeah, exactly. Next time you guys get stuck, you just text me, man. Just be like, hey, this is happening, we're stuck, and I'll just be like, well, what about this? Because apparently I think of things that you haven't.
That honestly just sounds like what we need. Couple more ideas, man.
All right, well, if you're a huge fan of Dungeons & Dragons, you probably very much enjoyed this particular segment of Nerd Radio. Let us know on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, at Nerd Radio 101.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend.
Golden Radio.
I know.
See you later, nerds.
And we're out.
Is there anything that...
I've got nothing to add video game wise.
Okay. Well, we can bring it down to your level, you know? There we go. I can be an asshole too.
Jeez.
I want that to be the end tag, Jefferson. There you go. I can be an asshole too.
All right.
I can be a DMX too.
Right, exactly.
What?
I can be a
what?
Hole too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.